ESPN 93.5, Sunny 95.3.
It's Bill Milberg, our political humorist and satirist. Find him at aneveningwiththepresidents.com. Bill Milberg from Chicago. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
And good morning, ESPN Radio and New Sunny listeners.
Bill, this has been a week to celebrate independence.
Well, it certainly has been, Stevie and Diane. Monday, of course, July the 1st, was Canada Day, which celebrated the creation of Canada as an independent confederation in 1867. Tuesday, July the 2nd, marked the 237th anniversary of the historic vote by the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia to separate the 13 American colonies from Great Britain. Wednesday, July the 3rd, saw another revolution by the people of Egypt and the toppling of another authoritarian regime in that ancient land. And yesterday, July the 4th, we celebrated the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776 and the creation of a new nation dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
Hey, Bill, did you ever see the Broadway show 1776, or perhaps you saw the film version?
Ah, well, Stevie, as a matter of fact, I just saw the film version 2 nights ago on television.
Well, this morning we have our own ESPN version of 1776 with George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Betsy Ross, and a special surprise addition to the story. I'll be narrating our story, so let us begin. The date, July the 4th, 1776. The place, the Assembly Room in Pennsylvania's State House, now known as Independence Hall. Delegates from the 13 colonies have come together for the Second Continental Congress, and on this day, they'll declare their independence from King George III and his oppressive British rule. A hush falls over the room as John Adams of Massachusetts takes the floor and begins to speak.
Gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? As you know, Mr. Jefferson from Virginia has drafted the new Constitution, and Mr. Franklin from Pennsylvania spent the night in his newspaper office right here in Philadelphia setting the type and printing copies for us. That job could have been a lot easier if someone would simply invent a Xerox machine.
Benjamin Franklin rises to make a comment.
Mr. Adams, I can assure you that there was no problem setting the type and running off the copies at my newspaper office. But I hope you don't make too many changes to this draft document, gentlemen. I wouldn't want to start the whole process all over again, setting type and everything. By the way, it's a declaration, not a constitution.
John Adams calls on Thomas Jefferson to discuss his draft of the Declaration of Independence.
Mr. Jefferson, would you please sum up your draft for us?
Thomas Jefferson takes the floor.
Thank you very much, John, and thank you, Ben, for all the time and effort and sweat and toil and hard work that you put into running off these copies for us last night. I feel your pain. And I'm surprised all the work involved. You didn't tell us to go fly a kite. I know you're in that whole kite thing. Seriously, guys, let me give you a quick rundown of what we've put together in this here declaration. It opens with these words: when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, then it goes on, blah, 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 blah. Then we come to this line, and this is the big one. Now listen to this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Benjamin Franklin interrupts.
Thomas, you might want to tell them what you mean by the pursuit of happiness. That could mean many different things to different people.
Good point, Ben. Of course, it all depends on what your definition of the word happiness is.
Just at that moment, a surprise mystery man enters the room.
Gentlemen, I'd like to comment on the pursuit of happiness, if I may.
The delegates look at each other and wonder aloud, who is this man? John Adams puts the question to him directly.
All right, Mr. Mystery Man, just who are you and where do you come from?
I'm Barack Obama, and I come from the future. And I'm here to tell you that you'd better be a little more specific about that pursuit of happiness thing. Otherwise, 237 years from now, people will still be arguing what the meaning of the word happiness is. May I suggest you rephrase that line as follows. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men, let's make that all persons, are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator. Let's change that to they are endowed by nature. We'll leave out the word creator. It might offend some people. They are endowed by nature with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, free universal health care, free cell phones, free contraceptives, big pensions for government workers, high taxes for millionaires and billionaires, and luxury vacations for the nation's leaders.
Barack Obama's comments caused a stir among the delegates. He spoke about concepts that seemed totally alien to what the founders had in mind for the United States of America. Benjamin Franklin took the floor to reply.
Mr. Obama, what you're suggesting is outrageous. Why, you're describing an all-powerful government that runs and ruins everybody's lives. We want a government that serves we the people, not the other way around.
The man from the future responds to Franklin's criticisms.
Mr. Franklin, with all due respect, may I suggest that your way of thinking is out of date. You want a revolution. But America doesn't need a revolution. America needs transformational change. Your thinking is old-fashioned. My way of thinking is cool, because I'm cool.
At that moment, two more unexpected guests arrived, General George Washington and Betsy Ross. General Washington apologized for their interruption.
Excuse me, gentlemen, I'm George Washington, or as my friends call me, George W. And this here little lady standing by my side is, well, you might recognize her. She's Betsy Ross. Now, we heard you're about ready to do that whole Declaration of Independence thing. And Betsy had a good idea. See, we're going to need a new flag for our new country. And she's made one for us. Now, Betsy, why don't you show the folks here what you came up with?
Thank you, General. Well, gentlemen, this is the flag that I designed for our new United States. Note the 13 red and white stripes. They represent the 13 original colonies. Also, note the 13 white stripes on this field of blue in the corner. They represent the 13 states. The red, white, and blue colors come from the British flag, so we're keeping the tradition of colors while creating a new design. Just like you're building a new United States from the 13 old colonies.
The delegates nod their heads in approval, and Thomas Jefferson responds to Betsy Ross.
Betsy, if I may call you Betsy.
Oh, yes. Please do, Mr. Jefferson. You're just so cute.
And you are too, Betsy. Oh, man. Just look at that flag. Wow. And look at Betsy. Wow. I think I speak for everyone here when I say that, Betsy, you've come up with one real humdinger of a flag.
But there was one dissenting voice, the mystery man from the future, Barack Obama.
Miss Ross, if you don't mind my saying so, Your design is sort of busy. All those stars, all those stripes. May I suggest something simpler? I've brought along a sample flag for you. Note that it's a solid red sheet.
And what's with the yellow hammer and sickle in the corner?
The hammer represents the working class people. Blacksmiths, carpenters, laborers. And the sickle represents the peasants. Farmers, ranchers, shepherds. The hammer and sickle cross each other to symbolize the new motto that I've created for America.
What's your motto?
Workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your shackles.
By this time, the Founding Fathers had heard enough from Barack Obama.
Get out of here, you left-wing socialist nut! Yes, go back to the future, Mr. Obama. Or better yet, to the past. We don't want your silly socialism in this country.
With that, Barack Obama left the room, vowing to return someday.
I'll be back. With hope and change.
Meanwhile, later that same afternoon, the delegates signed the Declaration of Independence, and the Stars and Stripes waved over the new nation. So ends our dramatic version of 1776. When we come back, President Ronald Reagan talks about we the people and the relationship between the people and their government. You do not want to miss this. Stay tuned. ESPN Radio 93.5, SunnyCU.com, and ESPNCU.com. And, of course, Sunny 95.3. We'll be right back. ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3, as we take a look at your weekend forecast now, brought to you by
Chief Bauer Heating and Air Conditioning. Why just call an AC repairman when you could call an expert? Chief Bauer Service Experts. Call 1-888-66-EXPERTS or visit chiefbauer.com today. High 83, low 65. 20% chance of a shower or thunderstorm. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Similar forecast tomorrow with a high 84, low 66. A 30% chance of showers. Sunshine by Sunday, high 84, low 69. And a slight chance for showers. Still a little foggy. Temperatures at 66. ESPN 93.5, Sunny 95.3.
Yeah, we got the Cubs and the Pirates this afternoon on the sunny side. That'll begin at 2:40, first pitch 3:05. You keep track of that because the Pirates are in first place. Miami visits St. Louis tonight on Mike Shannon bobblehead night.
Yeah.
7:15, first pitch on the air at 6:20 on ESPN 93.5. Time for this Wall Street Journal update at 10 before 9.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Dan Loney. Stocks are trading higher to start the final session of the shortened holiday week. Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 96 points at 15,085. The NASDAQ has added 23. The S&P 500 picking up 11. This is Kevin Cron of New Jersey's Stifel Nicolaus.
We saw in the early going markets firming up on the carryover from yesterday's global market rally. And then today we see some decent employment data with non-farm jobs coming in better than expected.
The report has said that the economy added 195,000 new jobs last month. Despite slow and steady job growth, those young adults known as millennials are still struggling. A report by Generation Opportunity and Nonpartisan Youth Advocacy says the effective unemployment rate, including those that have given up looking for a job, is 16%. And the Journal reports today that hedge fund billionaire Stephen Cohen will apparently not be charged with insider trading by the government regarding profits by his SAC Capital Advisors company. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
We are back with political humorist Bill Melberg on ESPN 93.5 and Sunny 95.3 and streaming worldwide at ESPNCU.com and SunnyCU.com. Bill, I understand we have a clip for us with Ronald Reagan talking about the American Revolution.
Yes, we do, Stevie. This is from President Reagan's farewell address in January 1989. And he talked about some of the very issues that are at the heart of the political debate that is raging in America today. Let's listen to what President Reagan said about the relationship between we the people and our government.
Ours was the first revolution in the history of mankind that truly reversed the course of government, and with three little words, we the people. We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us. We the people are the driver. The government is the car. And we decide where it should go and by what route and how fast. Almost all the world's constitutions are documents in which governments tell the people what their privileges are. Our Constitution is a document in which we, the people, tell the government what it is allowed to do. We, the people, are free. This belief has been the underlying basis for everything I've tried to do these past 8 years. But back in the 1960s, when I began, it seemed to me that we'd begun reversing the order of things. That through more and more rules and regulations and confiscatory taxes, the government was taking more of our money, more of our options, and more of our freedom. I went into politics in part to put up my hand and say, stop. I was a citizen politician, and it seemed the right thing for a citizen to do.
Wow. Ronald Reagan could communicate like nobody else, Bill. It's just amazing how he put his point across.
Yes, it was, and what he said in that short clip really applies to our current situation. It's no secret that many Americans now fear a growing government that monitors our phone calls, tracks our emails, and audits anyone who criticizes President Obama. And by the way, if anyone from the government is listening to us this morning, of course, everything we've just said is all a big joke, and we really love President Obama.
Yeah, we love big government. You're right, Bill. Thank you for that, because if anybody is listening this morning, we know you are. Hey, listen, it's always a pleasure, and thank you so much. What a fun version of 1776 today, Bill.
Well, thank you, Askiwawa, and hello to our friend Lulier listening this morning.
Hey, Lou! Hey. We love Lulier, Lou and Mayor. Thank you, Bill.
Askiwawa.
That's Bill Melberg, UOI alum. Diane, thank you.
Enjoy the weekend.
We will see you Monday morning on the radio. Have a great 4th of July weekend. God bless America. ESPN 93.5. The new Sunday 95.3.